Amen. Guys, I'm excited. You know why I'm excited today? Why? Because God is going to do something here. He's already done something. I believe that he's going to do something even greater in this time. We're going through Colossians. Today, my title is Added Requirements. Added Requirements. If you want to turn to Colossians 2, I'll meet you there. Me and Jose were watching a documentary. Does anyone really like documentaries? Yeah, there's a couple. And so this documentary is a little bit different. It was called The Perfect Neighbor. And there was this lady, and she moved into a neighborhood. This neighborhood was lower income. There was a bunch of different ethnicities of people in this place. And there was mainly families. So there was a bunch of kids who loved to play and run in the street and play tag and hide and go seek, and they would play football. And this lady didn't like it. She didn't like it at all, actually. So the way that the neighborhood was set up, it was just one street, and across from the street was this large field. And unfortunately, this particular lady bought the house next to the field. And so all these kids, the neighborhood kids, they'd be running around and screaming and yelling and having fun. And this lady was super disturbed because of it. So she was trying to do whatever she was trying to do, and they would be loud, and she would get mad at them. She'd walk outside, she'd yell at them and say, "Quiet down," and they'd be like, "Lady, I'm just a kid, I just want to have fun." And she would say, "You should be respectful, you should obey me because I'm asking you to do all these things." And then they would continue to play, and they'd continue to play. So she called the cops on these kids. The cops would come, and they'd be like, "Okay, were you doing anything illegal, kids?" And they were like, "No, we're just playing football." And this lady would go, "But they were yelling, and they were screaming." And then she put a sign that said, "Don't you dare come on my lawn." And there was some tussling about the sign. And so they were fighting. They were not okay with this lady. And this lady was not okay with her neighbors. So eventually this would escalate to the parents getting involved. And the parents would come and have words with this lady. And it just escalated and escalated and escalated. And every single time the police would come, they would find that the kids did nothing wrong, and the lady, whatever her name was, Susan was not okay with this. And she would meet these cops and say, "Do something about this. They should be X, Y, and Z. Quiet, respectful, doing the things that I want to do." And the officers would say, "They're kids. You don't own this land. They're not trespassing. We can't do anything." And they would often actually show the body cams of these police officers, and they would hang out with the kids, and they would talk to the parents, and it was all okay. And then it would start over and over and over again. This cycle of Susan putting requirements on the family and the neighborhood that she found herself in, and she didn't want to move. She wanted to stay there. And so it kept on escalating. There was mean words. There was racist things said. There was things thrown. There was attacks. There was iPads thrown and broken. There was a lot of things that happened. Until one night, Susan threw something at one of the kids. That mom got mama bared, and she came to the door and said, "Susan," she whacked on the door, bonk, 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 "come outside." And Susan was scared. She had bought a gun, and she shot through the door, didn't open it, shot through the door. All of a sudden, things have escalated. And this mom lost her life. Long story short, it was a crazy documentary. Long story short, Susan got 25 years manslaughter. Now, this is a crazy story. And the reason why I'm telling you this is because she did something. She decided that her rules were higher than the law. What she put on them were added requirements. So when the people who actually enforced the law came, they said, we can't do anything about this. But what she thought was right, she defended. And this arrogance actually puffed her up. She thought that she was better than the rest of them. It made her hostile and aggressive. And eventually, she took the law into her own hands. And someone lost their life because of it. This is what is happening in Colossians. Now, not exactly this, but I tell you this story because there was this group of people that did this in Colossians. They put added requirements onto this church, onto this group of believers that Christ never put onto them. So before we really dive in, I want to give you my whole sermon in one sentence, as we always do. If you want to put that up, it's when we cling to Christ instead of rules, we don't lose holiness, we finally find freedom. When we cling to Christ instead of rules, we don't lose holiness, we finally find freedom. This text, we're gonna jump in verse 16 right away here. This is the antidote to all the heresies that the Jewish group in Colossae were bringing. Heresies are wrong beliefs. They're lies. Instead of the truth, they are lies. And in light of this victory that Christ has won over these demonic forces, the true believers of Colossae should not allow these evil practices to influence this church. This radical group of Jewish people chose to exclude others, particularly all the Gentiles, so those who weren't Jewish, from the kingdom of heaven, from salvation, and from being chosen ones. Now, he gives a few warnings. The demands of Jewish rituals. Paul gives these warnings. Don't kneel to these demands that these people are putting onto you. Then he warns against pushing visionary or extra-biblical experiences. And then he warns against ascetic and legal practices. And if you're like, I don't know what that is, that's okay. We're going to go through it. He declares through everything, even the verses beforehand, that Christ is supreme. Christ is supreme above every heresy, every wrong or evil belief. And that Jesus is the fulfillment of everything that we need. Jesus is the fulfillment of Judaism. Jesus is the fulfillment of every empty and false philosophy. He's the fulfillment of everything that we need. So Paul proclaims this truth through this text, that they are free from any man-made rules that preclude them from experiencing and worshiping and being included in the risen Christ. So let's jump in. Verse 16. So don't let anyone condemn you for what you eat or drink, or for not celebrating certain holy days or new moon ceremonies or Sabbaths. For these are rules, are only shadows of the reality to come. And Christ himself is that reality. Don't let anyone condemn you by insisting on pious self-denial or the worship of angels, saying that they had visions about these things. Their sinful minds have made them proud, and they are not connected to Christ, the head of the body. For he holds the whole body together with its joints and ligaments, and it grows as God nourishes it. You have died with Christ, and he has set you free from the spiritual powers of this world. So why do you keep on following the rules of the world, such as don't handle, don't taste, don't touch? Such rules are mere human teachings about these things that deteriorate as we use them. These rules may seem wise because they require strong devotion, pious self-denial, and severe bodily discipline, but they provide no help in conquering a person's evil desires. So Paul is talking mainly to this group in Colossae, the church in Colossians, this group. And the first thing he comes against is that this belief that they're pushing on. As Christians and even them in this time, fresh converts, they can have freedom in what they believe. So here's a question. I just want you to ponder this with me before we kind of jump there. In a church family, do we have to have the right actions so that we can belong? Or do we belong so that we can have the right actions? Maybe you say it this way. Do we believe so we can belong, or do we belong so we can believe? Do we belong first or do we act right first in the church? So think about that as we go through this. So he's talking about these things. Don't let anyone condemn you. Verse 16, for what you eat or what you drink, or for not celebrating all these certain holy days. And then he says this in verse 17, for these rules are only shadows of the reality yet to come. When we look at that phrase, a shadow of what's to come, we know that he's referring to these Jewish rituals and not to pagan rituals, because pagan rituals are not a shadow of what is to come. It's not fulfilled in Christ. It's these things that were for a time. We maybe would say it this way, old covenant, new covenant. Jesus comes to fulfill this. So when he's talking about these things, he's not talking about sin. He's talking about these mandatory rituals that used to be, that they are still pushing. The shadows, the things that were fleeting, they're acting like these things are concrete and that they should still hold to these things. So maybe talk about it like this. There was food laws. Who really likes bacon? I love bacon. No bacon for the Jewish people. That was a food law. So they would have held to these food laws. Or no wine. If you were a Nazirite, if you took the Nazirite vow, you would be restricted from this. So they would push on these extra holy practices onto this church, this group of Jewish people. They would set up these practices, and they would judge others who didn't comply to what they had decided was right. Jesus never commanded it, neither did he condemn it. These special calendar days, we talked a little bit about it before, where they would celebrate festivals. Paul didn't want all these people to be stuck in what was. Now, it's not wrong to celebrate the goodness of God. So he wasn't saying no longer hold to these food laws, no longer abstain from alcohol, no longer worship God on the holy days. He wasn't saying that. He wasn't condemning them. Instead, he was saying you have the freedom to either continue in this practice or not. If Christ is holy then, he is holy now. He can be worshipped in any single way that we bring our worship, basically. And so, he is saying, on these calendar days, stop pouring old wine into new wineskins. Or new wine into old wineskins. More so, why are you trying to do a new thing in an old way? All these old rituals were destroyed. Or were not destroyed. They were completed in Christ. So let's think about it this way. All these different things, they were just shadows of what's to come. Jesus Christ fulfilled all of these shadows. Think about communion. Think about all these things when there was a Passover lamb, when they would smear blood on the door frames of their houses, and they would say, Spirit, bring me freedom. Instead, Christ came to fulfill that. There was a new Passover. There was a fresh Passover. And that is Jesus. So don't get stuck in doing the old things when a new way is here right now. It's not about always the letter of the law, following and doing all the right things in all the right way. I think it's about the heart of the law. The right actions, I think, come from belonging. So, I don't become new because I make myself be new. I don't become a new creation because I work my way into a new creation. I think that a lot of us here, we get stuck in this idea that we need to make ourselves better. That somehow I can work my way into a better relationship with Jesus. Somehow I can work my way into a better life. And maybe I need to restrict all the things that I'm doing. And I'm not talking even about sin in this moment. I'm talking about, what about reading the Bible? Do you put this pressure on yourself, or has anyone ever put you in a place where there's pressure on you? If you don't read the Bible this much, then I don't know if you're saved. If you don't pray this much, then I don't know if you're going to grow. If you don't do this, then it's not enough. I remember in Bible college, I was fresh, like fresh new Christian. And I had a really smart professor. He was a doctor. And he said, if you drink, you're not saved. And I went, whoa. Like, I gave up drinking to go be in college. So I wasn't drinking at that moment. But I just went, that's not right. That is something that Christ never put onto us. Now, he clearly said, do not be drunk. So we're not talking about sin, but it's the extra above saying, if you don't do this, it's precluding you from salvation, from the family. You're not included. And I got really upset. I got angry with them. And then all these things, maybe I should be doing this. Maybe I should be doing that. And I think, church, for those of us that have been Christian for a long time, we have those things. We try to make ourselves good enough for God. We try to find a way to be holy enough in his presence. The reality is we're never going to be holy enough. The more we try, actually, the more we fail. And these people in this group, in this church, they're putting demands just like sometimes the world puts on you. That you need to be better, you need to do this, and you need to do that in order to fit in the family of God. And I believe that Jesus here today wants to tell you, you don't need to be better. Because you cannot be better. All of my life, I've tried to be better. Even here now, I'm standing up on this stage, and I'm trying to project something to you. I'm trying to be good enough. Maybe if I just preach harder, you'll respond. Maybe if I just do this, you'll listen. Maybe if I just start yelling a little bit louder, you'll actually hear me. Maybe if I sharpen my skills and try this trick and that trick. And I'm putting these things on myself that God never put onto me. He said, preach my word. He said, be the pastor that I've called you to be. And slowly, one step at a time, he creates in me the willing vessel that I want to be. So let me put it to you this way again. I can do all that I can, and still it will not be enough. But the minute that I say, God, just speak through me. I don't know what I'm doing up here. I have all this training and all this knowledge, yes, but I cannot impact your heart. I can't do anything. But God, you can do everything. And so I don't want you to be bound to all these rules and regulations that sometimes people put on you. We call them open hand issues. There's some things that, yes, you do need to believe in order to belong in this family, because we cannot be dead and alive at the same time, meaning that if you are to come into the kingdom of heaven, you are born again, you are fresh, you are new, completely a new creation. And what is dead has passed away and is gone. So there's some things, yes, that we have to believe. But there's so many things that we hold openly. Halloween is a huge one. I've never had a more controversial Halloween than this one, where someone says to me, participating is demonic. This and this and this is demonic and wrong and evil. And then other people say, I am free in Christ to do whatever I want, and I will do this or participate in that way. And I say to you, not my own personal opinion, it is up to you. Be of sound mind and good conscience whether or not or how you should participate. Be holy. Represent God well. But I cannot tell you and put a regulation on you that says you cannot consume candy. I cannot put a regulation on you that says do not dress up. Whether it's then or now. So I'm not going to put something on you to weigh you down and put a burden on you that Jesus never put on you. But at the same time, be holy, be righteous, like seek after him in everything that you do. And I know that there will be freedom for you in this space, in this place, before and after, because you are seeking after him. Not after what I say, not after what someone says on the internet, not even what someone says in your neighborhood, that person that you look up to. I think this. Instead of saying, come to church when you're good enough, come to church when you no longer smoke. Come to church when you no longer drink. Come to church when you no longer curse or gossip or get angry or treat your wife or your husband poorly or do something that is sinful. Instead of coming to this place and saying, us as the body, saying, you need to believe this, you need to act this way, and then you can belong, we need to belong first. Because I'll tell you, when I came to Christ, I wasn't perfect. It was a slow and gradual process. I had to let go of addictions that were generational. I had to let go of frustrations that were deep in me that I had held from my parents and even their parents before them. I'm still not perfect. I'm still not. And so I would say to you, don't come into this space. And we have a whole bunch of new believers coming into this place. There's a lot of people that are coming in that have only believed under a year. And we can expect and push regulations on them and say, you should be this holy by now. And the reality is that the Holy Spirit works these things out. We don't. The more that we submit to God, the more that he changes us. And soon, whether it's the sinful things that that are crucified with Christ, meaning we, alongside the Spirit, we put these things to death. There's also a coming alongside our fellow believers and admonishing them to do good works. But I think it's through relationship. I think it's through belonging. So don't get stuck in this place. Don't get stuck in this place of adding requirements. Now, there was this thing where they were worshiping angels, and they were trying to, it says right here, they were denying themselves, they were fasting, they were doing all these things to try and puff themselves up. And whether they were literally worshiping angels or any, the Greek is crazy in this. Whether they were trying to be like the angels, whether they were trying to worship God through the angels, there's a bunch of ideas surrounding this. They were puffing themselves up in unspiritual pride. And this thing actually kept them from the head. This is Matthew 23. It says, what sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you're careful to tithe even the tiniest amount of your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things. Blind guides, you strain your water so you won't accidentally swallow a gnat, but you actually swallow a camel. The very things that the false teachers are doing excluded people. And the way that they excluded people actually excludes them. Paul says that they're actually apart from the head. Now, I'm not talking about salvation, but I sure can say they're apart from the body. They're apart from the head, and the head is the Lord. God causes spiritual growth in his church. It's not the right practices that cause you to grow. It's him. There's no way we can ever be like him. All these practices that we try and puff ourselves up with, or maybe you're putting something on someone else. It's just going to deteriorate with us. On Thursday, I was praying Thursday night. And there was about 11 or 12 people here praying for you, for our church, for our city. And I was watching my daughter crawl around. And I was sitting at the back. And here was my thought. By the time she's my age, most of the people in this room are not going to be here. They're going to be in heaven. They will pass away. The immaterial, the mortal things, the things that will not last, they will perish. But I can tell you the one thing that will never perish, it is the heavenly things. It is Jesus. And when we put our faith in him, he will cause you to grow. Not the regulations, not the things that people have put on you, he will. So people will try to disqualify you from God. They're going to try and limit your access to salvation. They're going to try and pervert it. But like in Paul's day, in this way, they will still fail. Why? Because the Lord alone triumphs over every principality, every false religion, every philosophy, and everything material and immaterial. So we just need to hold fast to the head, which is Christ. We just need to hold on to Him so that we encounter these things that other people put on us, or even what we put on ourselves. We will not be shaken. We'll stand firmly in the truth. We have everything that we need in Christ. We don't need to cling to old rules. We need to cling to Him. And when we do that, we won't lose holiness. We won't lose anything. That's when we finally find freedom. So why don't you stand to your feet? Come on, church. Stand to your feet. Here's what I know. It's not by anything I can do, not by anything I can say, that you will receive freedom only through Christ, only through Him alone. So maybe you're here today and you need to repent. And this isn't saying sorry so much as it is taking your whole life and it's turning back to Him again, because all forgiveness has been given to you. As far as east is from the west, so are your sins. So receive that forgiveness. But then also receive that freedom. And don't put these rules and regulations that we don't find in the Bible. And maybe you're like, I don't even know what's in the Bible. I don't even know what you're talking about, sin and extra and this and that. Follow Him at the end of the day. Follow Him. Through the words in this book, you will receive freedom. So I just want to lead you in this prayer. I just want to pray for you. As the one who gets to bring the word, as the one who gets to stand on the stage, I just want to bring a measure of the Holy Spirit to you, so that either if you've put requirements on people that the Bible and Jesus never put on them, or if you've received those requirements, you can have freedom. So just receive this. Bow your head, posture yourself however you want. Lord, we repent, me, myself included, for where we have gone astray, for where we have put things on people that they were never meant to bear. You say your yoke is easy and light. But our yoke, the yoke of religion, is heavy. Where we put all these things upon our backs and upon others' backs and say, carry them. And yet, Father, you sent your Son to die so that we wouldn't have to carry them, so that we could be free from sin, so that we could truly see, so we could be reconciled with you, Lord. You didn't make us try and jump up to you. You came down from heaven to us. You put on sinful humanity. You put on flesh. And you did it so that we could be with you. You who knew no sin, Jesus, became sin on our behalf so that we could know you. So in this place, Holy Spirit, would you bring freedom in this moment for all of those things, all the lies that we have believed, whatever they're at, wherever they're thinking through, whatever they're trying to receive from you, Holy Spirit, I intercede on their behalf and I say, break through. I ask that you break chains, those things that bond us to actually the kingdom of darkness. You came to set us free. You drug those principalities out and said, they have no power, they have no nothing. Not in front of the cross. Not in front of the throne of our Savior. So, Lord, I pray for freedom. Freedom from religion. Freedom from the things that people have put on them. And instead, Lord, I pray for all of us to receive a new mantle, even in this moment, that we don't have to cling to the things that are past. We don't even have to worry about the things in the future. And certainly we don't have to worry about our own holiness. Instead, one step at a time in our submission to you, as we seek after you, as we cling to you, you create in us. You create in us holiness. You create in us sanctification, where we look more like your Son every single day. So just break these chains off right now. Break these chains off. Where we're holding back from you. Where we're running away from you. Where we're hiding from you. All these spaces that we close the door to you on and say, don't go into this space. It's too ugly. I'm not prepared for you to go into this space, God. I'm going to hold this back. Instead, Holy Spirit, would you help us? Would you mold us? Would you help us to open the door? Would we let you in this moment? And again, just bring freedom. Bring freedom. It's just our submission. It's just saying yes. Holy Spirit, would you come and flood? Flood this place. Because you're good, not because I ask, but because you're so good. You bring the very manifest presence of God from heaven to earth, and you make a temple within our hearts. So who can be against us? No man, no principality, no dark thing. No other name but Jesus saves, and no other name but Jesus helps us to be free, makes us free, transforms us into something glorious. So we give you right now everything. We give you our whole lives. We surrender to you. And then we bring a sacrifice, what we've been holding back from you. We bring it to you fresh today. We open that door that we haven't wanted you to go in. We give you our past, all the places that are broken within us. We give you our present, all our anxiety, all our worry. We give you the future, what you're going to do in and through our lives. We give you every outcome in every place. We give you our whole lives so that you can take it and turn it into something beautiful and good. It's not by our might. It's not by our strength. It's by your Spirit. So we praise you, Lord. We trust that you've done a work in this place. Again, not because we're so good, not because we're worth it, but because you're so worth it, and you decided that you didn't want us to be alone. You didn't want us to be exiled. You didn't want us to be corrupt anymore. You wanted us to be with you. And you made a way where there was no way. You shed your blood upon that cross. So we praise you, Lord, for you are good. We praise you, Lord, for you are the King of Kings and no one is higher than you. We give you every honor, every praise, all the glory. You are so righteous and holy. Help us not to rush as we go out. Help us not to get bogged down in lies. Help us to stand firmly in the truth. We praise you, Lord. Thank you for doing what only you can do. Jesus. You gotta release it, family. You gotta release it. I just sense you wrestling with it. Just release it. That's all he's been asking for this whole time. Heaven is right here. That's why I said, just release it. And I still hear him saying, just release it. Come to me, my son. Come to me, my daughter. I want to make you new. I want to transform you. I just need you to say yes. Your response just needs to be yes. So just receive it. Don't rush to the next thing. Just receive it. Just say yes. Sometimes you speak louder in the silence than in the great highs the mountains aren't always the place that we should seek to be, the places where we can see everything, because they are rocky. And yes, we can see everything, but there's no nourishment up there. If you find yourself in the valley today, in the shadow of death, if everything around you is coming to steal and kill and destroy, remember that that is where God will pour into you the most. That is where our nourishment comes from. That is where all our provision comes from. So we go up to the mountain, yes, so that we can see where we're going, so that we can get a different perspective. But when we come down from that mountain in the valley, when we're actually moving somewhere, we go with Him. So thank you, God, that even in the midst of everything, you lead us beside still waters. And you bring us to green pastures. You do all these things for the glory and the honor of your name. It's not by our strength. It's not by our power. It's by your Spirit. That is the word of the Lord. It's by your Spirit. So I just pray in Jesus' name that any chains, any demonic powers, any entities that would try to steal and kill and destroy what you have done in this place, I pray in Jesus' name that they would be silenced and set out, that they would go away, be gone. Instead, I proclaim freedom for the captives. That is us. I proclaim freedom for the captives, and that actually it's the year of the Lord's favor. You are free from everything that would hold you back. Every principality, every rule and regulation, all the trauma that you've suffered in the past, I declare that this day there is freedom for you. Send them out. Keep breaking chains in this place. Let us just receive you in all your glory, in all your majesty, in all your power. You made a mockery of them. They are nothing, but you are everything. So seal this in our hearts, Holy Spirit. Seal it up so that nothing can come against what you have spoken. I pray in the power of Jesus' name that as these people, my family, walks through the valley of the shadow of death, they would fear no evil. There would be no chain that would pull them back to old habits, old vices, old ways of thinking. But instead, would they live in the truth that you have proclaimed? Would they hear your word? Would they hear you speak? Would you walk closely with them as they continue to walk? I pray you give them an extra measure of your Spirit so that in that power they can do whatever you've asked them to do. And then we praise you, Holy Spirit. We praise you, Son, Jesus. And we praise you, Father, our God, who's three in one. It's a mystery and we don't understand how this works, but we praise you anyways. We trust in you. We declare that you are high and lifted up and holy. And we rest in you now. As we go out, send us in rest. Bless my people with peace. Bless them with joy. Bless them with happiness even. Give them all their needs. Be Jehovah Jireh. Would you provide for them in fresh ways? And then, God, yeah, speak to them. Speak to them. Speak to them. Speak to them. Would they hear your voice? If you are sheep, you know the shepherd's voice. So in totality, Lord, we submit not just now while I'm praying and offering myself again to you, as we offer ourselves again to you. We submit to you on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday too. I pray you keep my people till the next time I see them. In Jesus' name I pray. And all those who agreed said, amen. Amen. Be blessed, my family. Be blessed and go in that blessing and be a blessing to others.